And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ, September 28th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. I hope you enjoyed that song, My Lord is Jesus. Boy, they don't make them like that anymore. That's a classic, a blast from the past, and I really enjoy that song. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And we just ask, Father, that you bless those that assemble with us today. We pray, Father, that we can put our hearts and our minds and our spirits in the proper place. We come before your throne and we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us. We ask, Father, that you purify our hearts, our minds, our spirits, that you allow us to be that light into this dark world, Father, that you rejuvenate us, that you forgive us of our sins, that we can draw closer to you. Lord, we're grateful for so many things, and we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land. We ask, Father, for your face to be made known. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, there is definitely a lot of stuff going on in the world today. But I wanted to start off by talking a little bit about the prayer meeting. There's people out there, and I guess I haven't been very clear as far as, you know, as far as the bulletin goes. I've got people that are signing up for the bulletin, and if you signed out, we sent that out this first thing this morning at 7 o'clock this morning, and it goes out every Sunday. And I've tried to get all the prayer requests that we've had come in through the last week on that, because I know that there's people that have asked and said that, you know, they want to be praying for the saints. We also do have an email, another list that that we send out midweek. I try to get it out on Wednesday before the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and try to get that sent out to those that have signed up to be on the prayer chain list. So if you'd like to be on that list as well, it's two separate lists, and I don't want to add anybody without their permission. So please do let me know if you'd like to receive that one as well, and I'll get you added into that list. And like I said, I try to get that one sent out Wednesday before Wednesday night prayer meeting. And I'm just thankful that there's been so many people that have stepped up to the plate and said, "Hey, I want to help you. I want to, you know, do what I can do, but I'm a long ways away. Whether it's, you know, praying for the saints or doing a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and just really grateful. There's been several men that have stepped forward and said, "Hey, I'll help you with that that prayer meeting, and or I'll help you with radio." And just very grateful for that. I'm thankful for those people that are dedicated to trying to help others, and I really appreciate that, and I just wanted to say thank you for that. This week, we'll go ahead and bring up that Prayers for the Remnant, Justice. Do you have the song ready? Is that what you want to do? Do you want to start off with the song? Let's go with the song. Justice wanted to start off with this song this morning. I think it's a good song. It ties in with what we're going to be talking about a little bit. It's called Pray Like a Wildfire. We'll have that.
Deep in a trance, now your country has only one final chance. Pray like a wildfire out of control. Pray like a wildfire scorching your soul. Pray like a wildfire lighting the dark. Pray like a wildfire, pray for the spark.
Pray, brother, sister, son, grandma, grandpa, everyone. Pray, it's the only way. It's the day of the Lord. So, Lord, we pray. Make Jacob a fire and Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble, completely burned away. Oh Lord, we pray, burn baby
earth. Unchain our nation, shatter the spell, hurl the enchanter deep into hell. Prayer is a raging power, restore. Wildfire kindles our Lord. Prayer like the wildfire out of control. Prayer like the wildfire scorching your soul. Prayer like the wildfire lighting the dark. Prayer like a wildfire. Pray like the wildfire out of control. Pray like the wildfire scorching your soul. Pray like a wildfire lighting the dark. Pray like a wildfire, pray for its spark.
And Justice, can you hear me through the speaker back there? Okay. All right. Good. All right. And I wrote this in for the bulletin this week and put it on also on the prayer chain mailing list last week. Justice, you can go ahead and bring that up. It says prayers for the remnant. And I just wanted to share this with you this morning. We encourage all of our readers to send in their prayer needs. We consider it a great privilege to lift one another up before the throne of God, knowing that He hears and answers the cries of His people. One of the greatest blessings we have as Christians is the privilege of prayer. It is not simply a religious exercise, but a living connection to the Almighty God. Through prayer, we invite His presence into our struggles, His peace into our anxieties, and His healing into our brokenness. The Bible assures us that prayer is powerful and effective. James writes, "The effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much." James 5:16. When we lift up our hearts to the Lord, we can be confident that He hears us and that His answer will come in His perfect timing and wisdom. Even more, Scripture reminds us that Jesus Christ is our healer. He bore our sins and carried our pains to the cross. And by His wounds, we are healed. Isaiah declared, "But He was pierced for our offenses, He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment of our well-being was laid upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed." Isaiah 53:5. Whether we face physical illness, emotional burdens, or spiritual battles, we can turn to the great physician. The psalmist rejoiced, "Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget any of His benefits, who pardons all of your guilt, who heals all of your disease." Psalms 103:2-3. This is the encouragement for the believer. Prayer changes things because God himself responds to the cries of his people. He restores, he strengthens, he heals. Let us be a people who pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Trusting in Christ's power to deliver and renew. Take courage, dear remnant, as Jeremiah reminds us, for I will restore you to health, and I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 30:17. Let us hold fast in prayer, knowing our Savior still heals today. Email your prayer request to preacher@sfaw.org, or you can send them to jason@sfaw.org. And very privileged, Justice, you can go back to me, but about the people that did call in, and it reminded me of myself. We got done with prayer meeting this last Wednesday, and the phone proceeded to ring for the next hour with people that wanted to get prayed for. After we were off the air, after we were done with the program, because they didn't want to take time during the program, because they thought somebody else probably needed prayer worse than they did, and I do appreciate that, but that's what that time is set apart for. And, you know, there's talked to one man, and he's like, well, I just had a small prayer request and wanted to take the time to call you after the program because I didn't want to interfere with somebody else that had something that was more important. And, you know, there's nothing too great nor too small for us to bring to the Heavenly Father, to the throne of God, when we need to be praying for. And that's your program. That's the program for the people and those that are out there. And do encourage people to, you know, pick up the phone, make the phone call, and call us or shoot us an email and tell us what their needs are. I was encouraged by Terry called me first thing the next morning on Thursday morning. We prayed for him on Wednesday night prayer meeting, and he was crippled up, and he was in pain, and he called me the next morning, and he said, praise the Lord. He's like, I can jump up and down. I can jump on one foot, and I'm pain-free. And he was just in tears with praising the Lord. And he wanted to thank me, and I said, no, it's not about me. It's, you know, you just praise the Lord and be thankful to him. He's the one that gave you the healing. And just to hear when I talked to him the night before and how much pain he was in and how he was hurting so bad, and just the joy that he had the next morning was just awesome to experience. So very grateful for that. And as I was talking with Brother Zach yesterday, we got interrupted. We tried recording, and he's a first responder, and he got interrupted, and we had to stop and start, and felt bad about the way that the recording turned out, but I told him I thought it was a really good message, and I really feel like that the Holy Spirit is continuing to work stronger in Zach, and do appreciate people that keep Zach and myself and all of us here that are laboring hard to try to get these messages out. Do covet your prayers. Please keep us in your prayers as well. Working on the Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine. Hopefully we'll be printing that within the next couple of days. It's coming together pretty good, and still just a lot of stuff to figure out, and you know, just some obstacles, but Lord is definitely getting us through it. But I do hope you enjoy this message by Brother Zach. I enjoyed it, and we'll be back here in about 30 minutes for communion.
And greetings to the once lost and now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, September 28th, 2025. Hard to believe that it is September 28th already. We're almost into October. We got probably just a little under 100 days. We'll be into 2026. And as the time goes, seems like time just keeps going faster and faster. You know, so with that being said, I'm going to begin by identifying and defining who Jesus Christ is, and that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh. And before we started recording this message, Jason was praying. One of the things he said in his prayer as we were getting ready to do this was, Lord, we just want to get to know you better. And that literally is what we are doing here every single Sunday. And hopefully we are assisting you to getting to know our Lord and Savior better. That's the whole goal. If we know him better, then we know what he thinks and we know what he expects our actions to be. So when we record these things, I generally record them on the Saturday before the Sunday that these are released. So this morning, which is a Saturday, I was sitting there, I was doing some dishes in my kitchen, and I hear the doorbell ring. And I walk outside, and there's two older gentlemen, baby boomers, I would assume, and they were Jehovah's Witness. And they started, they had their little pamphlet, they handed out to me, and they asked if I'd be willing to talk with them. Well, as you know, most of you know, of course I'm going to say yes. In fact, that's just my game. And I said to them, I've been waiting for you guys. Because they'd actually shown up a few times to talk to my wife. My wife run them off. And I said, I've been waiting for you guys. And we ended up having a good conversation. Instead of them talking, it ended up being me talking. I had no Bible in my hand. And I was, well, let me back up a little bit. They were talking about Satan, is what they were. And the reason why everything's going bad in this world is because the actions and the doings of Satan himself. And I took the position, you and I and everybody else needs to take responsibility of our actions, repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That way we're saved. And then our actions will dictate the outcome of the future. This was a concept that was so foreign to them that they, as you would might imagine, because they showed up at my house, they were going to teach me. But, you know, I kind of looked at it as like a sword fight. That is the Word. And we talked, and it was ended up being a good talk. And it was very pleasant. But I did say what I wanted to say. I'm quite sure it did not go the way they thought it was going to go. Generally, they probably get really rejected. Sometimes they might want to talk, but, you know, I am going to tell anybody the truth. If it presents the opportunity and they are listening, I will tell. I will not only listen to their points of view, because if I don't listen to their points of view, then how do I know where they're coming from? And plus, I don't want to insult them, because now all of a sudden I have an audience that came to my house. And I listen to their point of view, and I ask questions, and then I responded and went offensive. Let them respond, listen to what they had to say, did not completely, well, even though in my mind I rejected a lot of the things they were saying, I did not let them know that, because I got a fish biting on the hook. Plus, they might know something that I don't know, and I got to keep that option open. I got to live by what I say. And they actually asked me if they could come back. I said, I'm ready. I'm ready whenever. And maybe I'll see him again. We'll see. Well, last week, and I haven't been really doing big ways of review, but we talked about the vision that Peter had. And it was about all the unclean animals and God saying, kill and eat. And Peter was contemplating and I gave my assessment on what that vision meant. It was the reintroduction of the 10 northern tribes. And I stated my case because they had received the writ of divorce. And Peter was having a mental block because when he walked into Cornelius's presence, room, temple, courtyard, whatever it was, Peter said, "You know that it is unlawful for me to be talking to you as a Jew." And I've always been under the assumption since I've been on this ministry, it was because the 10 northern tribes had the writ of divorce. Therefore, they were lawfully not God's people because of that writ. If there was anybody that needed a savior, it was those 10 northern tribes because of that writ of divorce. You would have been better off to have been an Asian, a black man, some type of foreigner, and getting close to God and entering into a covenant with God than those 10 northern tribes because of that writ. That's the opinion and point of view that I've taken and held on this topic in Acts about this vision. And God was, because of that death, burial, and resurrection, the release of that marital law, that was their reintroduction. And like it says in Jeremiah, "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." What else could it be? And then I ask, if there's any of you men out there that know me, maybe that I don't know, that, and I know there's a lot of you old boys out there that listen, and I know there's a lot of you old boys out there that know me personally. Now, however you can contact me, right? That's a different story. You can contact me by emailing or calling the ministry, and Jason will send it off. He always does. Any correspondence that's directed to me, he always gives it to me. One old boy from back in the day of Bronson, I met him at Bronson. He's a carpenter. Guy I've always had a lot of respect for. He actually reached out to me. In fact, let me read what he says here. I gotta pull it up. I wasn't going to do that. It says, "Good morning, Zach. Heard your message around midnight on SFA. I suggest that God was trying to remind Peter of the book of Hosea with the vision of the unclean beast, specifically chapter 2. But the whole book speaks of Israel being divorced and brought back. Hopefully this helps." And then he states his name. And I read that and I was like, well, for one, I was absolutely delighted to hear from him. I was absolutely delighted that one of these guys, these old timers, and I don't mean to be offensive by calling them old timers, but that he actually reached out and assisted. Pastor Peters, back in the day, when I just got on the ministry, probably 2006, 2007, he had a group of men, and he called them the Acres of Diamonds men. And there's a lot of you Acres of Diamonds men that are still out there and you're in foxholes and you've been quiet over the last 10, 12 years, and I understand why. But I want you to know I'm here. And if there's anything that you think that is of value, you Acres of Diamonds, I need you to, or I would like it if you guys would step up your game and contact myself or the ministry, and we would like your input on things that are going on. So there's something of value that you think that we need to know, let us know. So I'm asking you, Acres of Diamonds, Ben, to up your game. So as I was reading that text, so as way of review, according to what my friend was saying, that he was reminding Peter of Hosea 2, and to confirm and to add to our argument that those people that Cornelius, I should say, who Peter was talking to, he was saying it was unlawful, was because the 10 northern tribes had the writ of divorce. So we're going to read a couple of chapters in Hosea 2 for this sermon today, and we're going to kind of shine a flashlight, and this is our opinion. This is why we have our opinion, because like what we said earlier, when you know the word, we're trying to get to know God better, Jesus better, and you have to be well-versed in the word in order to understand anything that's going on in the New Testament in the first place. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hosea chapter 2. I begin by reading in verse 1. Say to your brothers, Ammi, and your sisters, Ruhamah, contend with your mother, contend, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her put away her harlotry from her face. Let her adultery from heaven, her breast. Or I will strip her naked and expose her as on the day when she was born. I will also make her like a wilderness. That's verse 3. So you have a guy that's mad here, okay? That's upset with a mother for her unfaithfulness. This is what God saw, her unfaithfulness. God is talking about Israel because Israel had the writ of divorce. And make no mistake that Hosea does understand between the house of Israel and the house of Judah, because I'm going to read here in verse 1 of chapter 1, just so that way, for you out there, Hosea does understand the difference between the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And I read by reading in verse 1, the word of the Lord which came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Asa, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, during the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. So there was the two nations, just so that way, if there's anybody out there that's confused, there are two nations, and Hosea was sent to the 10 northern tribes. Let me continue. Continue in verse 3. Make her like a desert land and slay her with thirst. I will also have no compassion on her children because they are the children of harlotry. For their mother played the harlot. He who conceived them has acted shamefully. Why are these sons of Israel considered this in the eyes of the Lord? Because God is not their God. They are not playing by God's political system. So he wants nothing to do with their children as well. So can you kind of see in the context why Paul would sit there and look at these Israelites or Gentiles or these 10 northern tribe people that are not called Jews because they're not from the tribe of Judah and Benjamin in Jerusalem at that time, why he would say it is unlawful for me to be talking to you? They were hauled off in Assyrian captivity. This is why I believe Peter was taking that position. For she said, I will go after lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up her way with thorns. I will build a wall against her so that she will not find paths. She will pursue her lovers, but she will not overtake them. She will seek them, but will not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my first husband, for it was better for me than now. So she knows in the back of her mind that she has, here you can see, this is a marital relationship. So she's going to go back to her first husband because it's better. Even though she played the harlot, she screwed everything up from her disobedience, and this is where she's at. God, the husband, the great I am, the husband, is mad. Verse 8, for she does not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the new wine, the oil, and lavished her on the silver, lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Therefore, I will take back my grain at harvest time, my new wine in its season. I will also take back my wool and my flax given to her, cover her nakedness. And when I uncover her lewdness in the sights of her lovers, and no one will rescue her out of my hand, I will also put an end to her gaiety. Her feast, her new moons, her Sabbath, and all her fetal festivals, I will destroy her vines, her fig trees, of which she said, these are my wages, which my lovers have given to me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field will devour them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals, when she used to go to offer sacrifices to them, and adorn herself with her earrings and jewelry, and followed her lovers, so that she forgot me, declares the Lord. So here, what is God saying? He's like, it was me that gave her the new wine, the fig tree. And she's saying, my lovers have given me. She's saying that the lovers given it to her. No, that's not what it was. She was given credit to the Baals when the credit didn't belong there at all. That's actually pretty sad. But here we see God is going to make the 10 northern tribes pay. That's what he's going to do. Verse 14. So it takes a different tone here. So he's cast her out. You know, we've talked about, like, you read the greatest love story never told. It talks about her being cast out for wickedness, for her unfaithfulness. But God promised in Jeremiah, I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So we see Peter in Acts saying it's unlawful. It just doesn't appear to me that he's making the connection of what Jesus did, because he's still thinking it's unlawful. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak kindly to her. Then I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she will sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she from the land of Egypt. And it will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you shall call me Ishai, and no longer call me Baali. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, so that they will be mentioned by their names no more. Isn't that true? How many times do you ever hear about people talking about the Baal gods? Well, you see it more and more. I mean, when I was, I guess now I think about it, because of all the whoredom that Israel is engaged in lately, those multitudes of nations, they like to play with other gods. Nothing's new under the sun. But the Baals of old, the Molech and this and that, you just don't hear that terminology that much. You got to be actually pretty well-versed to know that, to know those names. But it's not going to be in her mouth as a whole anymore. And that's proven to be true. In that day, I will also make a covenant with them, with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the creeping things of the ground. I will abolish the bow, sword, and war from the land, and I will make them lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and peace, in loving kindness and in compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. So what do we see here? We see God bringing back the house of Israel in a new covenant. Promised here in Hosea as well. Promised in... Huh? And what does God say? In loving kindness and compassion, I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. What is that? What is that? The law written on his heart, in my opinion. Or written on Israel's heart, in my opinion. And when you see Peter talking to Cornelius, or I forget his name, you see that introduction, that birth of that new covenant and prophecy being fulfilled, because she was gone. This righteous man that Peter went to go see, he was one of the children of the harlot. He was one of the children of the harlot from serving the Baals, and she trained him, or trained her children to be followers of Baal, followers of the Babylonian system. Because they were in Assyrian captivity and hauled off, and all these generations that have been born since them to that time were separated from God, separated from his law. And when you see that meeting take place, you see the beginning and the birth of that rejoining. That is what, in my opinion, that vision means. That is what my friend here is like, you need to look at this. And it's a great piece of advice. Verse 21. And it will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, and the new wine, and the new oil, and they will respond to Jezreel, and I will throw her to myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. The Lord, the great I am, here speaking through the prophet Hosea, is talking about a specific group of people. He's talking about the 10 northern tribes. It can't be everybody. It can't be like the Jehovah's Witness saying mankind. I was like, well, what about Satan's seed in, you know, Genesis 4 or 3 or whatever it is? What about the men of instinct that need to be hunted down and killed that Peter talks about? What about Esau? God said, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. And I asked them that, and they're like, well, they didn't know. God is specifically talking about a group of people here he's making a covenant with. That in this chapter, you see, he schwacked them, cut them off from the deal, and he's talking about a plan of redemption and unity with them. This is not talking about the house of Judah. It's not. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the last chapter of Hosea, chapter 14. I'm going to begin by reading in verse 1. I encourage you out there to read the entire chapter, or excuse me, book of Hosea. It is what I found in my transformation, one of the biggest influences on convincing me that I was an Israelite. Because I knew enough about history, about American history. And then when I got reading books from Pastor Peters, I was backed into such a corner because of the knowledge that I had that I couldn't deny what he was saying. But this book of Hosea is one of the books that literally convinced me that I was an Israelite. A lot of it because of what we just read right there. They will be known as sons of God. Specifically talking about Israel, the 10 northern tribes. That's where Christians. So I want to encourage you guys out there, read this entire book. Compare it to what Peter's saying according to the vision and the conversation he's having and why he's taking the stance. I'm not supposed to be talking, it's unlawful. He's not thinking about what Hosea said, in my opinion. I think it's a great stance. That's my opinion. And I think the individual that pointed it out to me. First, chapter 14, verse 1. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. For you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Give up and receive us graciously that we may present the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save you. Isn't that interesting? The ones that were hauled off in Assyria, see, this is another proof that God's talking to the 10 northern tribes here. Assyria will not save us. They're in Assyria. Captivity. They're the captors. They're the taskmasters. They're the tool that God used to kick their butt. Why? Just as it says in Deuteronomy 28. They sinned, and this is a repercussion of their sin. We will not hide, we will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God. To the work of our hands, for in you, the orphan finds mercy. Who's the orphan? The offspring of the captivity. That's the orphan. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily. And he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and his beauty will be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. For those who live in his shadow will again rise, raise grain, and they will blossom like a vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like a luxuriant cypress. For me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them. But the transgressors will stumble in them. There you go. Here it says, verse 4, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. That's the new covenant. That's the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave for you and me and all of Israel. As Jesus said, I'll set only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't say to the nation of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel is a title for the 10 northern tribes. And Peter was given the keys to the kingdom, and he was shown that it is now time to bring them all back. Despite what they'd done, and it was him and Paul at the time were chosen to teach and spread the gospel. And with that, I am out of time. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. And as we prepare our hearts and our minds for communion, wanted to start off with a scripture found in Hebrews 9:22. It says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. Then I want to turn to Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. As we come to the communion table today, we remember the healing and the power that flows through the blood of Christ, not only forgiveness of sins, but the restoration, peace, and strength that can be found in him. There's a lot of mental illness out there today, and it's a real thing, and I think that if there was more people that were partaking of communion, there'd be less mental illness. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice of your body and your blood. We thank you that at the cross you bore and carried our sicknesses. We ask that as we partake today that you would renew us in spirit, soul, body. Let your healing flow through each and every one of us as we gather here in your name. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we read on the blood, I want to read Ephesians 1:17. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our wrongdoings, according to the riches of his grace. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of his testimony. The blood of Jesus Christ is more than just a symbol. It's the very source of our victory. His blood covers our sins, it breaks the power of the enemy, and it releases healing into our lives. At the table, we remember not only the cross, but we also remember that empty tomb. For the one who shed his blood now lives to intercede for us. 1 Corinthians 11:23-24, we've read it several times before, but it says, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together, remembering his body broken for our healings. The cup is the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, in the same way he took the cup and after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Before we drink of the cup and drink of the blood and eat of the body, we're going to have a song. And that is Power in the Blood. As we sing this song, just I think we just need to reflect on the things of what we want, changes we want, and asking our Heavenly Father to make those changes inside of us.
Would you be from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood.
Well, I hope you know the words to that song. He's trying. He's doing a good job. Justice is learning a lot back there, and there's a lot of buttons to push, but appreciate his help. Let us go to our Heavenly Father before we partake. Lord, we thank you for the healing that flows from your cross, for every weary soul, every wounded heart. We declare your promise, by his wounds we are healed. We speak healing over sickness, restoration over brokenness, peace over anxiety. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you do a mighty work in us, Father, that we can seek your face more. We cry out to you, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us, and as we partake of this, as we eat of your body and drink of your blood, we ask, Father, that you grant us restoration of these things. We pray that we can draw closer to you. We pray, Father, that as we apply the blood, that we can be better this week than we were last week. We pray that you just assist us in these things. And we pray these things in the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may partake. And I don't know if you heard it at the beginning, but I did start off by talking about the message that we have from Earl Jones today, and I thought it was neat. And I look at these dates, and I don't know. Sometimes I think that there's a big significance. Sometimes there's not. But as I was going through messages this week, I found one that was recorded in September of 1992, and it was an Earl Jones message. It was after we had a men's retreat up in Estes Park, Colorado, and came down. That ended on a Saturday, and came down and Earl preached here at the church. It was the third week in September, and so I believe it was pretty close, if not exactly 30 years from today, that this message was preached here from the LaPorte Church of Christ, and Earl Jones was a special guest, and I hope you enjoy this message. It is, it was sent out. It was not on the tape ministry or anything like that. I titled it Faith is a Mustard Seed, just for... because that's what I could come up with in the spur of a moment. But it is a fantastic message, and I hope you stay tuned for that. and we'll have that message up in just a minute. We'll have a song, and we'll be right back with that message. Thank you, folks.
To be loved.